So we got to the Lemonheads.
So now we are on Frenchy Frencherton.
Yeah, it's very French out here. And it's this awesome place. Just like silly fancy pants. Like so weird. It's not at all what I would have expected. Like last time I saw Evan Dando, it was just him by himself. But he was just at some... It's this place called The Red Room in Vancouver. Just a little bar halfway into a sketchy neighborhood. You know, nothing special. But especially with my not checking what time the show started and not buying advance tickets and blah, 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 I think I was really kind of downplaying how much I like the Lemonheads. I honestly think Evan Dando is my favorite songwriter of all time. I really like him.
Well, I'm glad we were able to get tickets, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just always mildly embarrassing to like him so much because it's like just silly pop music, but he's just so good at it. Like, he's like never written a song I didn't like, basically. The last Lemonheads album that came out in 2006 was a little shaky, but...
I really can't sit here and comment on it with Iggy because I don't really know, but my impression is that it's not poppy shit. Like, it was one of those good bands that, like, cool people were into.
Yeah, it was mostly just that they, I think it would have been different, not better necessarily, but different if it wasn't for, they did a cover of Mrs. Robinson back in the day, and it was a huge hit, and that's really what they were always known for, the one-hit wonder of the Mrs. Robinson cover. Because that album, A Shame About Ray, that it was on, that was their like big breakthrough album, and when it was first released, it didn't have that cover on it. And then they did the cover for a re-release of The Graduate, and the record label threw it on, and then the album became a big success. So it would have been the other side of the coin, where the album never would have been that well known, but it would have just sort of had more integrity than being this vessel for a cover song.
Does it bother you that then more people got to know it because of...
No, not at all. It's just that nobody stayed. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a pretty quick decline after that. Not as many people bought the next album, even though it was really good. Then the one after that, Car Button Cloth, is the only one Matt knows. It still sold okay. People had it, but not as much. And Evan Dando himself was a big druggie and all fucked up and just sort of disappeared after that and didn't come back for years. Like a long time, like 7 years till like a solo album. And then the Lemonheads reformed. So I don't know. It's like just a strange band that like it just doesn't get that critical respect that it maybe should have.
This is an interesting crowd. It seems like a mix between, you know, some older folk, some older normal-looking folk, and some like young hip kids.
Yeah, it's a little better than the Julian Hatfield crowd, right? Because like Julian Hatfield also became big at the same time as the Lemonheads, and her and Evan Dando were roommates for a while and always rumored to be romantically linked, even they both always denied it. So they're always tied together in everyone's mind, and I think maybe Evan has aged a little better, his musical following.
Yeah.
And just his music, because trust me, this is going to be way better than Juliana's fucking depression fest that we saw in New York.
Well, if I was suffering from anorexia and up on a stage, I'd probably boo-hoo a little too.
Yeah. Man, did I tell you about that? That after we saw that show, not long after, she did check into a place?
And we talked about it, yes.
Right. Yeah.
I remember distinctly.
Because all that weird stuff of like when you're in the bathroom, either someone needs to watch you or you need to count out loud the whole time to prove you're not barfing. That's the part that really got me. I was like, that's amazing. Never would have thought of that.
It's rehab.
Yeah. So let me see. I'm just rambling, you know, just eat up time. Well, I'm also eating up my batteries and I kind of want to bootleg this show. And I don't know how long the batteries last in this. But, so I first heard of the Lemonheads. I think I saw the Mrs. Robinson video somewhere on Much Music, and I just didn't pay attention. But it was my friend Tim, who was a weird influence in my life, because he was a total jock football player, huge dude, but he's the guy who got me into comic books, because he wanted to draw comics. I think he has a graphic design business of some kind in St. John now. And I was going to be his writer guy, and we wrote a bunch of stuff we never quite finished. And he also introduced me to the Lemonheads, and it was the Shame About Ray tape. It was just so good. I heard for a while they were touring around only doing Shame About Ray from start to finish, because it's everyone's favorite.
Well, that's a new thing now that bands are doing album presentations.
Right.
I'll see that sometimes in New York, where like the concept of an album is kind of foreign and exotic now. So people go watch their favorite band play their album. You know, back when people considered things like that, like song order.
It is kind of cool. And like, since we don't get the real bands, of course, if they even still exist, what we get in my neck of the woods are just the cover bands that'll do the experience. And they've been doing that a lot with albums now. Like my dad went to see like Dark Side of the Moon covered front to back. And there was this one band in Halifax I wish I had seen that did reggae version, like they were gonna, or maybe it was Vancouver. Anyway, a reggae version of Radiohead's OK Computer from start to end.
That's weird.
Yeah, I know. I was like, man, I wish I saw that. That sounded great. That'd be fucked up. But yeah, there's quite a few people here. I'm sure they'll let us in before too long. So I don't think there's any nice way to say it. That was fucking terrible.
That was a slow motion train wreck.
That was maybe the worst live show I've ever seen. Ever. Of anyone.
It wasn't even, like, redeemably interesting to watch.
I was kind of into his middle part when he was just by himself, because at least that had a stoner charm and there were somewhat discernible songs.
Hanging out with your friend when he's real fucked up and he's, you know, singing songs for you.
Yeah, so, like, basically, everything worked out surprisingly well for getting to this show. The venue seemed real nice. Fucking the sound was excellent. Everything was lining up great until Evan fucking stumbled on stage and couldn't hit. Well, I don't think he can do high notes anyway, but he doesn't try usually. So he's just warbling and cracking and his voice is all shitty.
Falling all over the place.
Yeah,
wrapping himself up in the cord.
Like literally, yeah, falling down stone. And he made some little reference at some point of like, gotta make sure you guys get your money's worth. I'm all fucked up.
Yeah.
But even that, like, I guess I just can't be too surprised because that was like a big thing back when they were still popular. Is there was a big controversy one time that he lost his voice during an interview. So he like wrote down on a piece of paper. He's like, I'm sorry, I stayed up all night, you know, doing whatever fucked up drug he was doing at the time. And smoking crack, I think it was that time. And
holy shit.
And
I could see how that would make your throat go.
Yeah. Like he's never been one to listen to publicists say, you know, he's just like, yeah, I'm all fucked up. And tonight he was all fucked up. Like, holy fuck.
All fucked up. That was sad. Yeah. And the whole time it's like, this is a really lame comparison, but it's like watching the Jenga tower when it gets to like the last couple pieces being pulled and you're like, oh God, stop. Oh.
You guys are in the room, but I'm writing a song right now. It's pretty sad, and it's not that good. But it's got some weird chord changes. Well, I don't know if it's gonna come up soon. It's almost over now. Holy shit, it never happened.
Yeah!
Yeah, so he came out with a full band and it was pretty much Disasterville. And they did like 3 or 4 songs. And then he left the stage. He was like getting fed up with trying to get his mic back in the stand and trying to get his guitar.
Well, no, I think he left after he fell.
Right.
And was there like kind of a jealousy thing going on between him and the 2 guitarists who were actually doing shit? Because it seemed like he was pissed that they were like picking up the slack. Like, and the other dude would start singing his parts. He'd be like, what the fuck?
then he came out, did some solo-y shit. And, like, I saw him in Vancouver, and that's how he was. Just him and a guitar, and he was totally sober. And it was really good.
What's that man even like, sober?
I don't know, but see, that's another thing, too, is, like, I always, as much as I always liked Lemonhead's albums, and I guess at this point I can't help but say you gotta stick with the albums. I can't recommend the live experience. But I never wanted to meet the guy. Like, I never felt like I could hang out with him because he just always was a weird, fucked-up stoner. That's just always what he was. So it's not like I'm shocked, but it is disappointing that show was so fucking shitty.
He was painfully thin, too.
Yeah.
Like, bad.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it doesn't take, like, 7 years or 6-7 years between albums by accident. You know? Shit happens for a reason. Man. And he's got a lot more lyrics about drugs than I ever really caught on to. It seemed like they all stood out a lot more today.
I really like that song, I Want to Get Stoned, I Don't Want to Get Stoned, then I Don't Want to Not Get Stoned.
Yeah.
I really like that song.
It's called Style. It's on Come On Feel the Lemonheads. There's 2 versions of it. Rick James is on the slow version. There's like a fast rock version and a slow version. They're both, yeah, it's a really good song.
I want to listen to that. I want to download that.
Yeah, it's good.
Don't wanna get stoned. Don't wanna get stoned. But I don't wanna not get stoned. I don't wanna not get stoned. Don't wanna get high. I don't wanna get high. But I don't wanna not get high. And I don't want to
And he did some old-ass Smudge songs and Practical Joke. Like, Smudge is such an obscure Australian band. Even the people I know from Australia don't know that band. I only know them through the Lemonheads, but they're awesome. And, yeah, I don't know. What can you do? So thanks for suffering through that with me, because, I mean, by the end, even I was like, I got a lot of goodwill to that guy. I was even just thinking, like, whatever, at least I finally get to give him some money for all those albums that I listened to, or... You know, at least maybe he's having a good time. But by the end, I was like, please wrap it up, guys. This is awful, and it's hurting my head.
Yeah, gut-wrenching. Fucking gut-wrenching. And I love, like, at the end, when he was tangled up in all the chords, and he had to change guitars because he was just fucking done with this one that was all tangled up. And then that just became another thing that was fucking tangling him up. And he kept walking around the mic stand trying to... Oh.
And he was trying to... Yeah, when his mic was out of the stand. So he was trying to...
That was the saddest thing when he's like... He picks up the mic off the ground and he looks at the mic stand. It's like you can see in his face. He's like, okay. I'm not going to be able to get this back at this fucking thing. And he looks around like, who's going to help me?
And then...
there was no one.
And then when he had the mic kind of wedged under his chin while he was trying to play, and it's like, just let the other dudes play, they're doing a fine job, they're carrying.
I liked when he had it wedged under his chin and he was like bending down over and like trying to hold his guitar on with one hand, and crumpled like a crumpled doll.
Yeah, man, I don't know, I guess I would go so far as to say if he's performing and touring solo, even that tonight, if the whole thing had been solo, wouldn't have been as bad. And maybe you'll get him on a good night. But yeah, with the band, he can't keep up with a real band. He just can't.
And it seemed to make him aggravated, and then he'd start jumping around, and then he'd start fucking up even more.
Oh, man, yeah, like, he even played fucking, during the little acoustic part, this song called Comeback DA that's, like, hyper old. It's, like, super old. Nobody probably knew that song except me and him. And it's just kind of ruined because it's all shitty. It's like, oh, man.
conversation is all in this world. You will find it. I want to find it. Now say, everything you are is everything I am. When I pledge, didn't mean it, didn't see it. Oh no, what a soul. Didn't mean it, didn't see it. Why did you know?
the impression that, like, whoever organized this tour with him hired those guys with the understanding, like, you gotta keep this dude in line.
Yeah, or something. I mean, yeah, there's always, maybe this is why there's always so many different lineup changes of the Lemonheads. They're never the same, practically from album to album. Anyway, fine songwriter. Go get some Lemonhead albums. Those are good.
I'm too- too much with myself. I won't be someone else. So take off at Fiona's door. Walk until it's light outside. Like before when we were on the phone. We have to laugh to look at each other. We have to laugh. Cars fly on King Street. It's enough to startle us. It's enough to startle us.
tell the truth and try to hide it.
Don't wanna get snowed. Lover, don't turn your head. Just let me walk away. I thought I might have to say you're asking the wrong guy. She wonders how, thinks she knows now. There's nothing okay to do. There's nothing okay.